As we come to this point of our sharing, and it's found in the book of 1 John. You know, there's John the Gospel, but then there's 1 John, 2 John, and 3 John. Of course, you Bible scholars already knew that. But there's a word there in 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17. I certainly have enjoyed my stay at home. I've been saying over the past couple of days that this particular center in which we're worshiping has great significance. I learned how to play pool right here. Yeah. Amen. And learned how to play ping pong a little bit. Played Little League Baseball. Me and Bill Holland were talking about our baseball team. We won the championship one year. Yeah, we were the number one team in the league. Thank God for that. And yet, we're able to come in this place and to worship the Lord our God. The word reads as follows. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Well, I want to wrap up tonight from the sermonic title, Where's the Evidence, Part 3. Where's the Evidence? There's a saying that I've heard before, not quite sure who to attribute it to, but it makes good sense. It says that we can't be so heavenly minded that we are no earthly good. In other words, don't become so saved, so sanctified, and so Holy Ghost filled that you lose touch with what's happening and the here and now. I make it my business to learn from Generation X, and I love hanging out with the millennials, especially when it comes to technology. Why? Man, they know that stuff. But by no means am I pretending to be hip. Am I pretending to do anything short of being who I am? But it's important to be relevant. God forbid you forget the song and the lyrics to The Temptations. And shame on you if you act as if you've never heard Kool and the Gang or the Eagles. And maybe you don't know about Justin Bieber, and you don't know about Michael Jackson. I mean, that's just a part of being in the world. We're not in this capsule that we're just every day is Sunday. We don't know what's happening on the outside. My wife reminds me she loves watching The Voice. And she'll say, that person was on The Voice. I won't have a clue. But I try and stay in touch with what's happening by way of the world. The Bible reminds us that we can be in the world, but not of the world. Amen? And you can exist and still love the Lord, but you got to be in touch. My God, you got to watch CNN and Fox and NBC just to see what's happening in your world. But no doubt we need more love. I think that that really brings all of us together. Love has no politics, and love has no denomination, and love has no ethnicity. We just need to love the Lord our God. Now, y'all know I was an old DJ back in the days, and I remember that Dionne Warwick hit. What the world needs now is love, sweet love. No, not just for one, but for everyone. We need love, and we need it in real time. In other words, we need to love now. Praise ye the Lord. Well, the last time we came together, we raised the question of who can separate us from the love of Christ. we begin to talk about not naming names, but that there are people and there are places and things that seek to divide us when it comes to how we love the Lord. And we concluded that no matter what happens, we will stay on the Lord's side. We began this revival eavesdropping on Jesus as he spoke with his disciples, saying to them, I have a brand new commandment that you love one another as I have loved you. And by doing so, my God, the world will know that you're one of my disciples. My God, I'm trying to live that thing. Folk are looking at you. They may not go to church, but they want to see how you're going to respond. They may know a half a scripture passage, and you're the only thing they have on that job that looks like Jesus. Oh, my God. Somebody ought to say amen. And so as you go to and fro in the world, just being kind to the person at the drive-up, just being kind to someone in the department store, wherever you go, you are showing the world that I love Jesus. Praise you, the Lord. On noonday, we talked a couple of days ago about, if you love me, feed my sheep. And Jesus kept saying to Peter, now, I don't know if you love me, Peter. If you do, feed my sheep. And of course, today we talked about fake love. Amen. How can you say that you love God, whom you've never seen, and you hate your brother and sister? My God, that was a good word today. So everything we've done this week has dealt with love, and love in real time. But before I pack my bags tonight, and before I cross the city limits, before I turn the rental car back in, and before I skip my reward points on Southwest, I want to leave you with another word tonight. One that talks about this sense of the world. There's evidence in the text tonight to suggest that the world in which we live may in fact be one of the biggest threats to love. That is the world. And can I just drop my anchor tonight? John, who writes this text, is writing to the church about false believers and false teachers. Now you would say, how is that possible? Everybody in the church ought to know the word, right? But John detected that what was being taught was not exactly in line with the teachings of Christ. In other words, there were some pretenders. Now this may sound like that's old fogey, but it's so important to study to show yourself approved. Amen? It's so important to go to Bible study. It's so important to spend time with your children. Even if you know one verse, my God, share that verse and live it before them. But he detected that something was just not right in the camp. And he says, I have got evidence to make my case. I can be real specific that the church of Jesus Christ had something that was a little shaky going on. My God, now let me just say parenthetically, I believe in the church of Jesus Christ. Say what you will or may, I believe in the church. Amen. Praise God. Whatever form it may be in, folk ask me, what's your denomination? I say, non-denominational. They don't even know what that means. That means that we're not connected to a mainline denomination, but I love Jesus. Can I tell you, he saved my soul one day? Amen. In fact, it was a Friday night at the Springfield. Oh, you know my testimony. I share it every year. I was sitting on the mourner's bench, and something got a hold of me. Amen. And I've never been the same since. Oh, yes, I took some turns, but the Bible said to train up a child in the way that they should go. And when they're old, when the hair get gray, they will not depart. My God, I thank God for the planting of seeds in these young lives. But John lays out a couple of things that are right in the text. I was sharing with Brother Bill. I said, Bill, you know, when you preach the word, you got to preach the word. You can't say what you thought John meant. You can't say, John, let me soften the blow. No, John says there's some things that we got to just talk about. Can we talk tonight about the kinds of things that seem to get in the way of our loving God? Can we talk about the world in which we live? And the first thing he says in verse 16, for everything in the world, and he starts naming the lust of the flesh. this might get PG-13 for half a minute, but I'll make sure I'm in order. The lust of the flesh is this sense of what it is, the flesh feeling a certain kind of way and desiring a certain kind of sinful pleasure. I'm trying to be in order. That is to do something that strictly satisfies the flesh. Amen? If it feels good, do it. That's what the world tells you. Don't worry about consequences. Don't worry about what's going to happen next. Man, it's your thing. Do what you want to do. Amen? I could do Eisner Brothers on that. But there is the lust of the flesh. And the devil knows what gets to us. Hebrews says that sin that so easily besets us. Let me back off. Y'all got your game face on tonight. Amen? All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. Oh, my God. Everybody got at least one that we have to fight against. One that we say, Lord, help me, Jesus. One that seeks to knock us to our knees. He was saying it could be a sexual sin. Or it could be gossip. Or it could be physical violence. Or it could be drug use. But whatever it is, there's something that knows how to get you. There's something that calls your name. There's something that says, oh, I know you're the old man. There's something that calls. It is the lust of the flesh. It seeks to draw us. And that's why we can't love the world like that. We can't wink at the world. We can't date the world on the side. We can't fall in love with the world. Amen? And he lays that out in Galatians. Paul lists a whole lot of the things that have gotten in the way. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, those things that keep us from getting all that God has for us. Aren't you glad for the blood of Jesus Christ that when you mess up, when the flesh is out of control, you say, in the name of Jesus, I plead the blood of Christ. If you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to, I'm just trying to help everybody tonight, to forgive you of your sins and cleanse you of all unrighteousness. I couldn't stay with that long. He says the lust of the flesh gets us off base. But also, in that same text, he says the lust of the eyes. Uh-huh. That is sneak a peek. Amen? And yeah, that means I saw it, and I liked it, and I bought it. And I'm not going to get in trouble with the women folk tonight. It ain't my business if you see a sale. You just saw it. And never mind that you got a coupon. That's between you and Christ. But there are things that we look upon that can draw us in. And it's all based on how we see it. And mass media is so powerful. You think they're advertising chewing gum, but there's something else. You think they're advertising, you know, a new car, but there's something else. And so we got to be careful with what we see with these eyes. Amen, amen, amen. But those are the kinds of things that can trip us up and put us in the category of loving the world too much. You can't flirt with the world. Yeah, the world is just waiting for you to mess up. The world is saying, well, you know, you ain't got to be all like that. And the world is saying, it don't take all of that. Amen? But aren't you glad that the Holy Spirit is always at work to convict you when you know that you've overstepped the bounds? Won't he pull you in? Won't he turn your car around? Won't he do things that will help you? It's what the church saw that got them in trouble. We got to put a filter over our eyes. Nobody is dead. We see things that are not holy. Put the filter on. Things that may cause you to step out of line, put the filter on. Things that may draw you in and jeopardize your love for Jesus, put the filter on. And I declare the Lord will allow you to get through it. See, in the first book of the Bible, Eve saw something. See, I like that fruit. It's a good looking apple. Yeah. And he said, go ahead. You can take a bite. See, I think Jesus, by way of God, says I shouldn't. Oh, he didn't mean that. And she took a bite. And now we don't blame Eve, because my question is, where was Adam? Adam, where art thou? But anyway, we look at those things that draw us. All to say these are things that will jeopardize our love for Christ because they're in the world. Praise you, the Lord. But then he wraps up by saying, the pride of life. The pride is that temptation that really makes you think that you're all that in a bag of chips. You really start to believe your own press that, you know what? I can't be touched. And you begin to think that you are so big and bad. That's the pride. And the pride can affect us in such a way that would allow us to fall. One of the things the Lord hates is a haughty eye. He hates the prideful person. Don't you know that Lucifer was one of the top musicians? And a little pride got him. He wanted to be God. Oh, be careful when you think that you're God. Be careful when you think you can stand in judgment on someone else. My God, look in the mirror and make sure that you're living the kind of life that pleases Jesus. And so when it comes to the pride of life, it's when we desire to get the credit. Desire to get the glory. That was my name on there. Yeah, this is my revival. And these are my people. And they came to see me in Live Oak. And I'm from here. And I'm Tim Tootin. Oh, God forbid that kind of pride. Pride cometh before the fall. Oh, mind how you get all big and bad about who you are, but make sure that you keep your mind stayed on the Lord. And the pride, when we desire to feel more valued and more important than others around us. Now, don't get me wrong. I don't want you to beat yourself down. No, I think you ought to be in love with you. I love what psychology suggests, is to have a good self-concept. Feel good about yourself. But don't get so high and mighty. Don't get too big for your britches. Don't get so prideful until you mess around and you lose the touch of God in your life. And then the other thing is, with pride, you might desire to have something. I just want my name on the billboard. I want folk to know who I am. I want to be great one day. I want to be a star. But you know what? You're glad to be a servant of the Lord? I'm glad today. No matter what accolades I've gotten, I'm glad to be one who says, I don't mind the Savior. I know the risen Savior. And he's in the world today, and his name is Jesus. John hits right at the point of these three areas. Because he knows that courting the world can leave you in a bad place. And he was saying, I see what's happening, and I just want to help you. But I'm glad that verse 17 wraps up by saying, the world and its desires pass away. In other words, a time will come when you won't be able to see very well, so your eyes won't do you a whole lot of good. You'll miss stuff because your eyes. And you'll come to a place in life that your temptation won't be all that. And you'll come to a place where you just be glad to be in the number one more time. And so what it's saying is that the world that you're connecting with will pass away. But here's the good news. But whoever does the will of God lives forever. My God, I'm glad that John put that 17th verse in there. In other words, only what you do for Christ will last. I dare you to keep on keeping on for Jesus. I dare you to continue to spread the good news that I serve a risen Savior and He's in the world today. My God, only what you do for Christ will last. Folk may forget about your accolades. They may forget about your degrees, and they may forget about your Emmy, and they may forget about your Oscar, and they may forget about your certificate, and they may forget about your trophy, but only what you do for Christ, it will last. My God, I'm glad today that no matter what happens and what comes or what may, I'm going to stay with the Lord. You know, I'm concerned that when it comes to Easter, we sometimes put Easter on the shelf. We get our new suit or dress and have an Easter egg hunt, and then we kind of forget. But I'm glad today I keep telling that same old story that God so loved the world. Wait a minute. God so loved the world. God so loved the world that He sent His best. He sent His only begotten Son in the person of Jesus Christ. Isn't that something? That God cared so much about the world. That God had His eye on the world. That God was so concerned about the world. He said, wait a minute. Let me send my best. I'm going to send my Son from glory. Why? I love the world. Amen? So don't you get cozy. He's already got the world. In fact, Jesus said in that John text, Lord, don't take them out of the world, but protect them from the evil one. In other words, you got to exist in the world. You got to go to work every day in the world. You got to buy groceries in the world. You got to get on the plane with folk from the world and let your light so shine before men and women that they may see your good works and glorify your Father. But I'm so glad. Isn't the name of Jesus so sweet? 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. Just to take Him at His word. Just to rest upon His promise. And to know, thus saith the Lord. Jesus, how I trust Him. How I prove Him all and all. Jesus. Oh, to trust Him more. How many folks just want to trust Jesus? Amen? The old song I used to hear coming up is that He's sweet, I know. That storm clouds may rise. And strong winds may blow. But what am I going to do? I'm going to tell the world. That wherever I go, that I have found a Savior. And He's mighty sweet. I know. I'm going to tell the world how He got me up this morning. I'm going to tell the world how He started me on my way. I'm going to tell the world how He put food on my table. I'm going to tell the world how He made a way out of no way. I'm going to tell the world how He allows me to put on a piece of clothes. I'm going to tell the world that He gave me a piece of job. I'm going to tell the world that He continues to keep me. I'm going to tell the world that I serve Jesus. Well, where is your world? Can we do real time? Is your world in Atlanta or Athens? Or maybe it's Baltimore or Bolivia. It could be Charlotte or Cairo. Detroit or Denmark. Easton or Evansville. Fayetteville or France. Gainesville or Germany. Tell the world. Hollywood or Houston. Tell the world. Indianapolis or India. Tell the world. In Jacksonville or Jerusalem. Tell the world. In Kansas City or Kiev. Tell the world. Oh, in Live Oak. In Live Oak. In Live Oak. In Live Oak. Or in Libya, tell the world. In Monticello or Montreal, tell the world. In New York or the Netherlands, tell the world. In Orlando or
Ontario, tell the world. In Perry or Pakistan, tell the world. In Quincy or Quebec, tell the world. In Raleigh or Russia, tell the world. In San Diego or San Salvador, tell the world. In Tallahassee or Thailand, tell the world. In Obana or Uganda, tell the world. In Vero Beach or in Venice, tell the world. In Washington or in Wales, tell the world. In Zaxion or Zaxlania, tell the world. In Ulee or York, tell the world. In Zambia or Zurich, tell the world. Take the Lord with you, children, everywhere you go. In the street, in your home, in the crowd, all alone, on the highway, on the byway, or you want to take the Lord with you. Hey, how many folk want to take the Lord with you? I'm going to tell the world that I've been born again. I'm going to tell the world that he saved me. I'm going to tell the world that he kept me. I'm going to tell the world. Glory. Where is the evidence? Don't you get too cozy with the world. Don't you start dancing with the world. Don't you ask the world out, but just tell the world about Jesus. That is the word of God. And it's already blessed. Somebody give God a praise tonight. Hallelujah. And to do it in real time. Let's stand tonight. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me. That's why I love him, because he picked me, seeing my condition, seeing the world getting the upper hand, and says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Let's say it together, come to Jesus. Come to Jesus.